You know, I felt like actually for this review would have been the easiest. Because for something like this, what we heard last night, you know, it's not a lot of points that you have to try to remember. All you have to do is just respond, right? And it's easy to respond.
Amen.
Because the Lord stirs something within, you just let it out.
Amen.
You know, I appreciate it. He has a lot of words to describe what the Lord spoke last night to us, right? Scary was one of them. And I think Peter actually warned us it might be scary. But others, you know, in our group time, it said it was fun. It was fun. It was exciting. Also, it was serious. And actually, that's what I felt. Actually, I felt sobered. Sobered. You know what it means to be sober, right? If you're drunk, if you're in a stupor, if you're drugged, actually, it's good to get sobered, to hear a sober word. I felt like the Lord really gave a sobering word to us last night. You know, we talked about the world situation, how this age is. And it's in comparison to Noah, in Noah's time. There's this verse. There's two verses, but in Luke it says that this is Luke 17, that, and even as it happened in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking. You know, this matter of eating and drinking seems so common, but actually in their drinking, you know, I don't think at that time they were just drinking. You know, there's not that much choice what to drink. You know, they didn't have refrigerators. What could they drink, right? Even water was not good, but probably it was wine, right? They were eating and drinking. Actually, they were probably getting drunk as well, right? This was the age. They were drunk. They couldn't see what was going on. They were eating. They were drinking. They were buying. They were selling. They were planting. They were building. That was for Lot. But they were being given in marriage. They were being given in marriage. And this also touched me last night. Until last night, I didn't know what it meant, why the Bible said they were being given in marriage. You know, what is marriage? Marriage is something for the future.
That's right.
It's some hope and some expectation, you know? And when the brothers brought up the question, what do we want from the world? Do we really believe that the Lord is coming back? And are we happy that he would come back? And he brought up, you know, if the Lord comes back, you know, that might affect your marriage, right? Whether you will get married. You know, when the Lord actually does come back, I think that's going to ruin some weddings. There's going to be some planned weddings, right? But also, where we go to school, right? Our job. Are we going to get that ideal job? You know, what other things do we want from this world? You know, I was actually thinking sometimes, you know, with movies, we're waiting for the next sequel, right? Star Wars is coming out soon, right? But it already did?
It's already here.
Oh, it's already here. All right. But you know what? In this one, I don't think Luke Skywalker comes out. I think you have to wait for the next one.
Right.
Yeah. But actually, yeah, actually, you know, you sometimes you wait, right? You're waiting.
Yep.
Oh, you can't wait to see. But will the Lord come back before then? And how will we feel? Is our heart attached to that? You know, it's not to say that we shouldn't be doing these things, but actually our heart and our life shouldn't be in those things. You know, when Noah was doing, he was building the ark. Right? He was building the ark. And when he went in, there were 8 souls. He went in with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. So actually, you see, Noah and his sons, they were also being married. But it was different. They were being married, but they were also building the ark. So whatever you're doing, whether you're going to school, you're getting married, you're getting a job, do those things, but you also have to be building the ark. This is to build a church in this age. And this matter, Noah in building the ark, I think other people could see what they were doing. And that, you know, the Bible says that Noah was a herald of righteousness. What he was doing was proclaiming to others, right? There's a judgment that's coming, but there's also a salvation. There's also a way out, right? So actually receiving this word, I felt like, oh, Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord, I like to be building the ark. I like to be in the church, building the church, but also to be a herald, to proclaim to others that others may also come in. So I actually wanted to share that part from last night. So this morning, we're continuing the lesson, and if you turn to lesson 8 in your outline, this lesson is on the human spirit and the difference between the soul and the spirit. The difference between the spirit and the soul. So up until this point, we covered a lot about the Spirit, right? The holy, divine, all-inclusive, consummated, compound Spirit. Everything is in this Spirit. And actually, this Spirit is also doing a work on us, on the believers. He's regenerating us, he's sanctifying us, he's transforming us, he's sealing us and pledging, and he's actually moving within us as the anointing. He's doing all these things, and then now we're taking a turn to focus on the human spirit. You know, this matter of the human spirit is not a small thing. It's not a small thing. And, you know, this was shared in the very first message on Friday. You know, not many people know that man has a human spirit. And actually, people would say, when you see the lowercase s, oh, that's not the human spirit. That refers to the Holy Spirit. But if you show them the verses, then they might say, oh, actually, the spirit and the soul are the same. But then actually, they're very clear verses. There's the dividing of soul and spirit. So it's very clear that man has a human spirit. How about we read the verse, Zechariah 12:1 together. This is one of your memory verses. This is a very good verse. Zechariah 12:1. Let's read this together. Burden of the word of Jehovah. So in this verse, we see three equally important grand things. We see the heavens, we see the earth, and we don't see man. Actually, it says we see the spirit of man within him. Actually, man, physically, the body of man is something of the earth, is included with the earth. And if you could kind of consider, you know, the heavens, you know, this vast universe, right? And, you know, people are exploring. They want to explore. They're seeking out what's out there. You know, they're inventing new mathematics and new sciences in order to be able to explore the depths of the universe. And also, if you look at the earth, how much are we, you know, there's so, you know, as grand as the earth, even on, as grand as the universe, even on this earth, oh, look at just so many things, just the variety of plants and animal life, just the physical makeup of biology, of animals, of our human body. You know, all universities and all the schools, your education, you're searching all these things. They're searching the knowledge to know about all these things. But actually, the most important thing in this verse is the human spirit. How many places know or teach the human spirit? Where can you go to learn about the human spirit? Actually, in the Summer School of Truth, we're spending all this time on this matter of the human spirit. This is a great thing, not just for us, in God's words, in God's eyes. It's the greatest thing in the universe because the spirit of man is for God. It's for Him, for God Himself. This made me really know the Spirit, but also knowing is not enough. We also have to experience the Spirit. All right. So let's go into the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 and 2 together. And Roman numeral 2, leading part of our spirit. Okay, very good. You know, I think a lot of these things are very familiar, right? I think we all know that the spirit is composed of three parts and functions. So if you want to know your spirit, you have to know the three functions, right? Which is the conscience, which tells you, right, within that what is right and what is wrong. It's a sense within you, right? And then the fellowship is how we contact God, how we worship God, how we communicate with God, right? Is done in our human spirit through this function of fellowship. And this matter of intuition, actually, when I was younger, I always had a hard time with this. But the intuition is a direct speaking from God to you, right? Not to someone else, but it's a direct speaking of God to you. It's a knowledge that you get from God that is against any reason, right? And the thing about the Spirit is really what's quite remarkable is that, you know, it's against your reason. It's against your mind, right? Your mind is in your soul, but your spirit, your conscience, and your intuition, you know, is in your spirit. So it might be that in your conscience, something is bothering you, like you had a conversation with your mother, and you just said something in a certain way, and you felt it was fine, but then within you, something is bothering, right? And what do? You reason with it, right? Oh, no. That's, inwardly you say, no, I was right, you know, she deserved that. But the more you reason, the stronger the feeling in your conscience is. This shows you that this is in your spirit. And the same way into intuition, you might get a certain sense within you, don't go there. But you say, why? It's fine, right? Why not go there? And you know, this really, have you ever had this experience? Like I've, you know, we have these lessons. It helps you to understand. But you know, it might be that you can experience this, but not have the lessons. So there was a time where I just, you know, just within, I thought I would go to this place, but then within, I just felt bothered. And, you know, for maybe even an hour, I was just struggling back and forth. Because the more I decided to go in this direction, the weight I felt deep within. So, you know, and the more that you feel you don't go, you feel lighter. But in your mind, you would say, I actually want to go. So you kind of go back and forth. How good is it to know about our intuition? That this is the speaking from God. That way that we know that this is God's anointing, His moving and working within us, we can just say, Amen, Lord. It's good just to say, Amen, Lord. Amen to that feeling within us. Actually, a lot of the things, the feeling within our spirit, is good just to respond, Amen. Right? In our conscience, the Lord might bother us that, you know, we did something we shouldn't have, and it bothers us. What do we do within us? Do we just let it sit there, right? Do we just wait until it goes away? Do we start doing other things so that we get distracted and then we kind of lose that sense? Actually, when that feeling comes within, it's good just to say, Amen, Lord. Amen to that feeling. Lord, I agree with you. I agree with you. Actually, that's confession. Confession is to say with, is to agree with that feeling in your spirit. So the conscience is the leading part of our spirit. So if you're wrong in the conscience, the fellowship is broken. And when the fellowship is broken, the intuition does not function. You know, maybe that was why I had a hard time understanding intuition, is because to get to intuition, to get to God's direct speaking to us, you actually had to take care of your conscience, right? But if you look at it another way, if you take care of your conscience, then your fellowship with the Lord will be very rich and sweet and living. And then if your fellowship with the Lord is rich, sweet, and living, then also your intuition will be very active. And the Lord will bother you about a lot of things, about not doing this, about not looking at that, about not going here. A lot of things that the Lord will speak to you directly concerning His will for you through your intuition. But it has to go, we have to take care of our conscience. So the dealing with the conscience is therefore very basic. A transparent conscience will bring us into the presence of the Lord, resulting in a living fellowship with Him. We need to go to the Lord to deal with our conscience. We may need a long time to complete this through a thorough confession. You know, Lord Jesus. How many of you have heard this before? Raise your hand. Be honest. You've heard this matter, right? Yeah, we've all heard this before. I've heard this many times before, right? You know, the thing about the human spirit for the believers is that it is a mingled spirit. It's not just our spirit, but it's God's spirit being mingled with our spirit. There's a verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." You know, this really struck me very much. You know, you should pray and consider, come to the Lord concerning it. What does it mean to be one spirit with the Lord? Is the Lord in you?
Yes.
Is the Lord in you?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes, He is. But why is it that we don't experience Him the way that we really should? Why is it that we often have a lot of failures in our Christian life? And why is it that we don't even seek Him out? Right? We may try to exercise our spirit, but then, you know, it just seems like, it doesn't seem to work, right? So we get kind of discouraged. And then we get distracted by the world, and eventually we get restored, and then we enjoy something maybe again, like a conference like this, but then we go back to the world, and again, it seems that it's a struggle to touch God in our spirit. So it's very clear that we can know something about our spirit, but to experience it is something very different. You know, this matter about the mingled spirit. You know, when Brother Peter was giving all these testimonies about, you know, all these people, all these people in the Christian history, some I haven't heard about. You know, all that they did. You know, Peter, he didn't mention, I don't think he said God much or the Spirit much. He just talked about what these people did. But within, didn't you feel that God was moving?
Amen.
The Spirit was moving. Through all these things that these men did, these believers, God was moving in them.
Amen.
You know, how could they do such things, right? It's because the Spirit of God was working in them. They had a mingled spirit, even though they didn't have this truth, but God was very active within them. And this allowed them, this gave them the strength and the power to do all those things. You know, we weren't elevating these men. We weren't saying that, these are great men. I'd just like to be like them, right? Actually, we were just worshiping God Himself, worshiping what God can do in man. Actually, the spirit that was in those men is the same spirit that is in us.
Amen.
Do you believe this?
Amen.
This is real. Actually, it's the same spirit that was poured out in the book of Acts, right, upon the disciples. I would encourage all of you, if you are touched by this history, just to read the book of Acts from beginning to end. It's the same way. The Lord Jesus is not there with His disciples. He's not in the flesh with them. Where is He? Actually, now He's the Spirit.
Amen.
And as the Spirit, He's poured out on the believers.
Amen.
Why?
so that God can spread.
Amen.
And in Acts, what we see is God's moving and spreading.
Right.
You know, God needs to move.
Yeah. Amen.
He needs to spread.
Amen.
But how is he going to do it?
Yeah.
He needs a channel.
Amen.
He needs a vehicle.
Right.
He needs us.
Amen.
He needed disciples in Acts.
Right.
He needed all these ones in history.
Amen.
But he also needs us because he sent us out.
Right.
Everywhere that you are, in all your schools, in your homes, in your families, in your neighborhoods, that's God sending you out. This same Spirit, the mingled Spirit, is in you.
Amen.
And we need to experience this.
Amen.
This needs to be our experience.
Amen.
We can't just learn about this.
Right.
We can't just know the verses.
Amen.
But we have to make this our experience.
Amen.
How do we do this then? How do we do this? Actually, you know, in the beginning, the very first message, Roger Fisk, he shared a testimony about his father. And I think many of you were touched by this. So that his father, for many, many years, he refused to believe into the Lord. But then eventually, within, something was urging him to say, amen, to say, yes, I receive you. And his testimony is that as soon as he received him, as soon as he opened to the Lord, God just filled him.
Amen.
You know, what God needs is an opening.
Yeah.
He needs an opening. God needs an open vessel so that he can fill.
Amen.
You know, what is the Spirit? What is the Spirit? Actually, you could call it the wind, the breath or the wind, right? You know, the thing about wind is that, you know, it has one little opening. It just fills it. Right? You ever open a can of Coke, right? You click it, shh, shh, you hear that sound? The air just goes right in. What God needs also in us is an opening.
Right.
He needs us to open to him. And actually, the more you open, the more he's able to come in and
Amen.
Fill us. You know, if we wanted the wind to fill this room, you could open one door, right? You could open one door and the wind will kind of come in. But actually, if you really want the room to be filled, right? You know, it's not that hot today, right? It's pretty good, so we don't need to do this. But you want the wind to fill this room, you have to open all the doors.
Right.
You open all the windows. What happens? And the wind rushes in.
Yeah.
There's a flowing of the wind. This is also with our being. You know, the Lord might touch you when you hear a word. It might touch you in your spirit. And something, oh, yeah, you enjoy that, right? So there's a little bit of opening. God is able to kind of get through. But actually, we need to open even more,
Amen.
Right? It's good when God's word comes to you and touches you, you can say, amen. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
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 God comes, he says, God comes, you know, and he's touching you in your spirit. What do you say?
Amen.
That's an exercise of your spirit,
right.
And it's also an opening of your being. What do you think would happen if God touches you, but you just don't have any response? You don't open your mouth, right? What do you think happens, right? There's no filling. There's no filling. But if you say all together, amen, there's an opening for the Lord to fill through. It's the same way the Lord touches you to speak to your friends. Actually, you know, the Lord does touch you. I think in all the group times, many of you shared about how God touches you, that you would share the Lord with your friends, right? But then you have that feeling, but say that you don't actually do it. What happens? There's no flowing. So how do you take care of that? You have to open your mouth. You have to, even though you're afraid in your soul, you're afraid, you're not sure what's going to happen, follow your spirit. Follow your spirit and open your being to let the Spirit to flow through, and the Lord will reach them. You know, I just like to close and give our brother Peter more all the time, but, you know, there's even a testimony of Witness Lee, Brother Lee, his testimony. And, you know, we all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Brother Lee. Actually, there wouldn't be a Summer School of Truth.
And his testimony was that, you know, he at an early age, he loved the Lord, and he gave himself to the Lord, and he started learning a lot. He felt as a Christian he should learn a lot, and he picked up a lot of knowledge, and he tried to act a certain way, but inside still he felt dead. He felt dead. And he realized, he looked at himself, Lord, I haven't brought anyone to you. I haven't saved anyone. Something is wrong. Do you have that feeling? It's good if you have that feeling. How long have I been a Christian? How long have I been through Summer School of Truths and conferences? But I'm still the same. Lord, save me from being the same. Why are we the same year after year? It's because we haven't touched the Lord, the Spirit, in a definite and prevailing way. So the way to be filled is actually to go to the Lord. Personally, to go to the Lord and to try to contact him in a definite and prevailing way. If you do this, you don't have to worry about knowing what the points of the conscience is. The Lord's light will shine. He'll shine on your sins. And you'll just, oh, Lord, I just hate myself. I hate all the sin within me. Lord, forgive me. And the Lord, you will be released. You'll be released from your sin. You'll be released from your love for the world. And the Lord will fill you.
Amen.
And the Lord will just move in you. And it'll be easy to talk to your friends. It'll be easy just to live a Christian life. May the Lord gain us in this way. Amen.
These days when we buy stuff, it always comes with the instruction. Instruction a lot of times attached with a blow chart, right? A blow chart. When you buy a Xbox, does it come with a blow chart? With assembly instructions? Was it? You don't have? Oh, you're low tech. How do you put it together, right? For anything, you buy a IKEA furniture, right? You come home, sorry. You buy IKEA furniture, comes, you know, say, oh, place this first, and, you know, some nails. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
If you haven't done that, you need to help your parents out, okay? Well, next time when they buy something, you need to help them out. That's called a blow chart. Yeah. And when you go to college, you're probably gonna do more. Yeah? You have you bought a car. Daniel, I know you like autos, right? Do you like to drive fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Got a ticket yet?
Yeah.
Have you ever pop your hood?
Yeah.
Take things apart?
No.
You should do that. When I first come to this country about 30 years ago, and a friend of mine, we lived together, and then he said, I really want to travel around America. I said, why don't you do that? So we bought a very, very old, abused car. And we took it apart. And the house had a long driveway. So we littered the driveway. And with all parts. Fortunately, there was no rain for the whole week. Okay? So we don't know which part is good, which part is bad, but just look at it, it's a little corroded or rusted or, you know, worn out, so we just go out and buy that part. Yeah. So we don't know what's it called. I say, do you have this part? So anyway, in a week, we cleansed everything.
Wow.
And put it together. Yeah. And then we found one part. I say, where does this belong to? Where does this belong to? Oh, we had to do it all over again. No blow chart. No blow chart. But we blew it apart. And finally put it together and fill up a gas, started the car. That car just, I don't know how many miles went after that. And then the car just run. Just missing one part. The car would not run. We can examine all the parts in the driveway. We can study everything. But if you don't put them together, the car will be parts, not a car. If put it together, if you don't fill the car with gas, it still doesn't run. If you have a gas, depends on where you put the gas. Essential and economical, which means you fill the car with the gas. That's called essential energy. But you have a controlled burn. That's called economical energy, right? I'm just using the terms you learned this week. You've been so familiar with. The gas you fill in, that's essential spirit. The controlled burn is economical spirit. If you make a mistake, you pour the gas in your car and fire it up. That's only economical burn. You're not going to drive it. The car is going to be totally burned. I drove a lot on Bell Parkway. And that day, was driving by. Was totally, the traffic was totally jammed. I said, what's going on? I began to see the smoke come up. I said, wow, somebody doing a big barbecue there. So, inch in. And about a mile, took about 1 hour to get there. You saw this brand new Lake Tahoe SUV. Was burning. Was on fire. That was so scary, yet was so awesome. Can a car burn like that? That was amazing. Yeah. So when you talk about an essential spirit, if that essential spirit does not manifest, if that life does not manifest, express out, you have not expressed the economical spirit. And that bow and arrow place, right? Have you ever been there yet? By house 1920. If you go to that bow and arrow place, I don't know if I would do this, but you do it or not, I don't care, okay? There is a walkway into the woods. About 30 meters into that trail, to your right, you will see this big rock. Big rock. That big rock, there was one tree. Just forced the rock opened up. Okay. You go take a look, okay? But don't run too fast because the lake is right below. So, just that big boulder. That tree used to be very teeny tiny. It's just a seed probably fell into the crack. And began to grow. Now, the root, the big root, just pry open the rock. And that pine tree grew out of that rock. It's just awesome. I use Brother Adam Marcus. It's awesome. If you go take a look, and we have a few trees in this way too, in the trails. You just admire the force, the power of that life. Little teeny tiny tree from a seed. You won't pay any attention if you crush on it, you walk by. Yet that life, when it exercises its life power, can pry open that rock and make a root, make a living, and grow a tall, big pine tree. I encourage you to really take a look. And when you take a look at God's creation, you already know what the brothers are fellowshipping. It's you have a spirit. That's where God's life will take a root. The mingled spirit is rooting God in you. But if that life only rooted does not grow, you will be just a life. You won't suffer perdition. You will have eternal life. But that eternal life needed to grow, need to penetrate, take a root in your mind, in your emotion. As a matter of fact, you need to take a root in your soul. That's called a transformation, right? That life needed to penetrate, permeate, and saturate, and grow in your heart as the good land. Wow, in Matthew, the Lord gave in chapter 13, it was talking about the four different earths, right? And as a matter of fact, in Mark 4, he used the same parable. That all the sour went out to sow. To sow. Some land by the wayside, and the birds come and snap it away. Some fell to the ground, but the earth was too thin, too shallow. There is a layer of rock. Okay, that part, if you go check, is not only with a lot of rocks mixed with the earth, but also means there's a shield of rock below that earth. That dirt may look pretty good. Okay, it's too shallow and it cannot take a root. The root cannot penetrate. But if you take a look at that rock, you see that pine tree or can take a root if your heart give the Lord a little crack. Give the Lord a little crack, that life can penetrate and take a root. Of course, the third kind can choke the life with all kinds of things. When you're reading the Bible and a text message come or whatever message come, Instagram is instantaneously take a life out of you or suck life out of you. Everything now is instant. Me, me, me. Now, now, now. Quick. Right? Everything is a fast food service. I eat a lot of fast food when I was in graduate school. Don't laugh, okay? One night, the Burger King is offering $1 for two hamburgers. So, I said, that's good. So I had a long experiment I needed to do. So I was staying a few nights in the lab. So I went out that night, bought a $5 hamburger. They shortchanged them, it gave me $9. I found out while I was eating. By next morning, the bag was here, I was working. Getting, it's empty. How come? Without knowing it, I ate all 9 hamburgers that night. Here I am. You gotta eat. You have to eat. If you don't eat, Daniel, come on. Look at this guy. His daddy is about my height, right? Yeah. A little taller?
A little taller.
How much taller? Two millimeters?
Yeah.
No. About my height. Look at him. He eat too much. You gotta eat. These days everything is a chicken soup for the soul. Chicken soup for this. Chicken soup for that. There's no nutrition. Chicken soup. It's good for cold. It's not for your soul. You need to breathe. You need to eat. You need to drink. So this week, this 10 days, we're trying to feed you. But you have to eat yourself. You're all grown-ups. We cannot force feed you. And some Chinese mothers, when their babies were sick, whose nose has been held to feed you medicine? Raise up your hand. Oh, don't sue your mom, okay? That's not a child abuse. It's good for you. Oh, is that suffering? Who is afraid of the doctor when you see the needle? Oh, raise up your hand. Oh, poor kids. Who was beginning to cry when you see somebody wearing a lab coat? You mistake them as doctors. Anybody? No, you're all pretty good, huh? It's all good for you. So a lot of speaking in this 10 days. You may feel like, oh no, oh no. But that's good for you. Amen. It's a good dosage of antidote of the poisons you took in already. Sometimes brothers will hold your nose. Open up. Dear, this is good for you. No, it's not good. It's just not good. How many of you have seen your mom feed you or your parents feed you some, you know, the medicine so yucky, or some food so yucky? Raise up your hand. Weren't you glad you took it in? No. Dennis, we can't. A lot of times, the healthy things doesn't look good, doesn't sound good, doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I think when we talk about a human spirit, in your conscience, you know most of the time, you know it's good. But in your mind, in your emotion, in your will, you just don't want it at that moment. But that is the moment the Lord needs you to open up. So this session is supposed to talk about a human spirit and a human soul, right? I draw a few things you're very familiar with. Ooh, this is a good job, brothers. Very good. So I'll use everything, okay? So you are very familiar with this, right? Okay. That's not bullseye, okay? What's this? Huh? What's that? Brother was using Zechariah 12:1. So, if this is a tripartite man, mm-hmm. If it falls apart, what would you call that? Huh? Yeah, I know, hula hoop, right? No? What do you call that? It's dead. Isn't that obvious? Yeah. Isn't that? It's death. What's that? A snowman. A snowman lying down. Yeah. It can be funny, right? caterpillar, chopped in half. Okay. When body, soul, and spirit fall apart, it's dead, right? But what is your condition? You know, a lot of times the brothers draw, you know, we all learn, oh, life here, you know, going out, you know, you're all familiar with that, right? I'm not going to talk about it. What is your condition? Okay. Body, soul, spirit. Okay. Soul, huh? Spirit. Is that your condition? When I do sports, forget about who is my opponent, brother, sister. I don't care. Spirit? Temporarily placed in the lake. Actually, many of your daily walk is this situation. Right? It's still attached. You're alive. Yet, you do things really according to your desire. However you want to do it. The spirit has become an appendix, right? It's become an appendix. Do you have a human spirit? Do you? Yes! We have a human spirit. But where is your human spirit? In my pocket. So this is mostly our daily walk. Look like this, right? You walk a lot of time like a zombie. I'm sorry. Okay? You walk like a zombie. Earphones, hook it up, you know, listening to something. Parents call you, Daniel, come to help out. You hear some noise. You don't know what it is. And you don't care. I know you do, but I'm just using you as a straw man, okay? A lot of times, the Lord speaks to you, speaks through your conscience, speaks through you, to you through the saints. During the meetings, while you're reading the Bible and praying, but your heart was so cluttered, was so blocked, that noise becomes, there's so much white noise, background noise. You cannot recognize or decipher the code the Lord is sending you. And our Lord is very simple. His phone number is 000000, sevenfold intensified spirit. Your receiving end, your body is one place. Maybe you're in the meeting. Your soul is elsewhere. Where were you this morning? I'm in the meeting. Really? Anybody, your soul has wandered back to New York City or your hometown, your parents? Raise up your hand. Temporarily walked out of this meeting. Thank you very much for your honesty. Your body is here, but your soul is elsewhere. But in your conscience, you know you should not have been thinking about that. So this is a human normal condition. For a good saint, for a good saint, this is about that situation. There are some intersections. Mathematically, what do you call that? Cross sections? Venn diagram. Okay. Okay, you have your body. Now this, let's turn on. You have your soul, you have your spirit. We all know what Romans 8:6 says. What does it say? For the mind set on the flesh is death. For the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Man, a good Christian, really a good Christian, a lot of times their daily walk is like this. You cannot deny that our flesh is taking a lot of proportion. Yet our soul needed to really make a lot of choices according to our thinking, according to our emotion, our delight, our like, you know, whatever we like. For example, this noon, for the early part of this morning until 10:35, I was in the kitchen where slicing meat. You're gonna make your own sub for lunch. And we're baking cookies for you. You're gonna have, on average, 1.5 big cookies. I was trying to cut down the portions, but we bought it so much. We want you to eat well. Okay? So your body gonna enjoy. But while I'm saying this, is your mind already wondering, whoa, is a half a foot sob or whole foot sob? Is the cookie, how many chocolate chips in that cookie? When I was talking about the sob and the cookie, whose mind already been put on the sob and the cookie? Raise up your hand. Yes, you fall in my trap, okay? So I'm testing. Fortunately, this is not a death. You're gonna enjoy your lunch. But the matter of fact is that you can see how easily our mind, particularly our mind and emotion, was so easily swayed by thoughts, by introjection of any opinion, any news, any activities, any unheard of things, or, you know, starting alarming things, our soul will be distracted. So that is your human soul. So it's very easy to distinguish, right? Your mind, your emotion. But you need to make a decision. Your decision power, mostly neutral. So you need to make a decision. Say, I choose not to think about the sob. While you're doing that decision, you're still thinking about the sob. Am I right? Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, the human soul is a wonderful organ to contain the mingled spirit. To let the mingled spirit to really take its vacancy and to spread into our thought, into our feeling. Because our thought can be very complicated. That's where the enemy's flaming darts is, as a matter of fact, is shooting mostly in our emotion and in our thoughts. Like sisters, your emotions can be very easily targeted, right? Brothers, too. You're playing a game, you reached whatever level you are, and others reached the one level higher. Oh, that could hurt you, right? Oh, your score is this much. I don't know if you saw the other brothers, you just intensify your playing, right? I know. I have a coach for this past week living with me. He's 17 years old. So I learned a lot of ideas from him. I said, well, this is a few days. You need to teach me. Teach me. What are you thinking? That brother was a dear brother. He was teaching me how he was thinking, how the young people thinking. So I already entered into your secret. I entered into your secretive mind, secretive emotions. Human mind can be very, very useful for the Lord. Yet, there are many things I won't describe. You already know, because you have the subjective experience of your human soul, right? Anybody cried, ever cried before? Raise up your hand. Wow. Everybody cry? Really? How about Mark, Matthew, Luke? Did they cry? Why do you cry? All kinds of reasons, right? And before I came, a brother gave us a bottle of Mexican pepper. As a loving, caring, good gesture. And he was there. I have to eat. Oh, I was so excited because it's so hot. I was sweating. I was crying. But not because I was moved. It was so hot. So spicy. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And now while I'm talking, I'm just, my instinct caused me sweat again. It was so spicy. Because he said, brother, I heard you can eat a spicy food. I said, yes. I bought some very, very good pepper. I like it very much. I said, okay, that's good. Can I have a lunch with you? I said, sure. And the lunch, I opened up. Just by smelling it, I was already sweating. Now I'm sweating already. I said, okay, smells pretty spicy. He said, no, it's not spicy at all. I said, okay. So I look at the other two brothers. My intention is, would you test it first? The other two brothers look at me, say, you go first. So I ate it. My heart was full of love. I said, brother, thank you very much. But my emotion is also spicy. But I decided to take it in because my brother, he went out of his way, bought me that bottle of pepper. It may cost me 24, 48 hours problem. But my decision is, it's Mexican pepper. Thank you, brother. Of course, the after effect is very obvious. That's a mind, emotion, and a will. It's very, very experiential, right? Very, you all experience it very much. But how do you set all of those always aligned with the interest of our Lord? With the church, with the saints, with even with your study. What are you studying for? We asked you last night. You're just trying to get a good job. I had a good job. I gave it up. You're trying to start a company. I started one. I gave it up. You want to bring a company to the market? I did it. I gave it up. I can tell you, anything you're thinking, somebody before you already thought. As a matter of fact, generations ago, there is one book in the Bible, it's called Anything Under the Sun Today, has been thought, done, tried before. I remind you, these days, a lot of youngsters become millionaires. Why? Because the enemy is damaging the generation at a much younger age. Because this parallel is always going on. From day one, from Adam and Eve. I'm sorry, not from day one, from day six. It's always going on. If you just, you lose your guard for one party, lose your guard for one drink, lose your guard for one rage, lose your guard for one time, and your soul could be so defiled, so damaged, so destroyed, may hurt you for the rest of your life. So this is where you can see a lot of times it's your choice. Romans 6, 8 to 6 is want us to go this way, not to go that way. Am I right? So when you exercise your spirit, it's not for it. Really, the purpose is mainly for your soul. So for the salvation of your soul, for the organic salvation of your soul. As a matter of fact, when you set your mind to the mingled spirit, the spirit pour in. That's where in Ephesians 4:23, it says, in the spirit of the mind. Because once our mind sets on the spirit, it's become porous to the mingled spirit. Amen. It's just the mingled spirit can be penetrating anywhere. When I was in MIT, one of the physics professor asked students to do an experiment. The experiment called creating the best vacuum as you can. So he did not tell the students all the equipment had a little flaw, so you cannot generate that much vacuum. Yet, when the students walk in the lab, he was standing by the door. He gave everyone a stick of chewing gum. So the students was, oh, this professor was pretty good. Give me a chewing gum. So everybody received, just begin to chew. And they begin to generate a vacuum. Of course, nobody can generate a good vacuum. Why? Because it was always leaking. And nobody knows, how do you patch up the leaking? Daniel, what would you do?
Take the gum and plug the hole.
That's right. So one student took the gum out. Disgusting, right? He patted it, stretched it, and sealed one of the key joints. The vacuum just, the mercury just dropped. And all the rest of the students take the gum out. Oh, that's why the professor gave us the gum. Yeah. So no chewing gum in this building, okay? And if you do chew outside, don't stick to our chairs, okay? Don't stick to any furniture. Place them in the trash bin, all right? You know what I mean. When you generate a vacuum, which means you're preventing the air to come in, and you need to suck the air out. But our soul is not a vacuum. Our soul is a vacuum cleaner. It is sucking anything. All the dirt can be sucked in your soul. Am I right? So it's not a generating the vacuum. It's a vacuum cleaner. Do you agree? Where your mind, your thought, your emotion, will all get contaminated by a lot of dirt. Because so much going on around us. So much going on. I have no time to explain this too, okay? If I got a chance for this week, I will come back and explain those two, what do you call that? Venn diagram. You call whatever you call. Okay. I will stop there, but I want to finish on this vacuum versus vacuum cleaner. The vacuum cleaner is a good tool, right? It's a good tool. It sucks up a lot of dirt. But our mind sucks up a lot of dirt. And it got defiled. Some dirt become permanent. For example, if you use a drug, if you use drugs, your mind, your emotion, and even your will be permanently damaged. Yeah, we had some saints. They in their youth, in whatever, before they come to the church life, they did enjoyed a sinful life. But their testimonies, their mind, their soul, were damaged. So as a young brother, a young sister, I'm not going to say, oh, stay away. No. Don't even associate yourself with those kind of things. When you go to college, you hear so many stories about a fraternity, maternity, whatever this thing. I know you were laughing. I know, sorority, all right. Dissociate yourself with those kind of group of people. Don't use God's love as an excuse. Stay away from drugs, from alcohol, from anything, not only defile you, but can permanently damage you as a useful vessel for the Lord. Trust me, you will be tempted. You will be tempted. Brothers and sisters, when we talk about the human soul, I have no intention to give you the theory, whatever. You already know it very well. But how do you preserve your human soul? Only for the mingled spirit. Only for the function in the church life. The function in building up the body of Christ. Our soul is a vacuum. It can suck in knowledge, can suck in music, can suck in this, can suck in that. But while those are things sucking in, there are so many defilement is coming in as well. So that's why this mingled spirit is so, so important. That's why you have a companionship is so, so important. One day, one year, the University of Kentucky in Lexington, they were voting for a president for the student body. And one student was running for the president. So he promised, if I were elected, I would build a beer line around the student union. All beer is free. Whoever wants to drink, just open the tab and drink the beer. Of course, he was not elected. Because the university cannot afford it. But these days, when people want to reach their goal, when people want to reach what they want, they can sacrifice, they can violate anything you feel normal. They will use any means, any ways, try to reach their goal. That's the enemy's strategy. But our Lord need you. Our Lord need you and I to preserve our human soul as an organ, as a vessel for His life, for His spirit, for His purpose. Now that war is waging, and waging ever more fierce these days. Even when you choose your major, when you choose your school, when you choose where you work, who you associate with, this is all waging a war over your human soul, because you have to use your mind, you have to use your emotion, and use your will. And all of this need to be soaked, saturated, all the time with a mingled spirit. Amen. So I'm finishing up. How to do it? Set your priorities. There's one thing is learn to set your priorities. I know a lot of you have peer pressure, parents' pressure, and all pressures. How do you make choices? I think majority of your parents can be easily convinced and persuaded that loving the Lord, going to the church meetings, and participating in the church lives, and functioning in practical services, and so on and so forth, they will agree. They will agree. So we encourage you to make your choice, set your priority for the church life and for the practical services in the church life, and actively, even proactively, even aggressively, actively to participate in the church life. The church life is not only prayer, praying, reading Bible. The church life is a church life, including mowing the lawn, cleaning the yard, trimming the trees, sweeping the floor, wipe after you using the bathroom, or somebody else used it, you wipe it. Oh, vacuum the floor, take away the the spider webs. Arrange the chairs, wipe the chairs, help with the food preparation, taking the food out. When you see senior saints come in, give them a hand, open the door, hold their arm a little bit. When you see babies walking in, pat their head gently. Not whacking them. Dear brothers and sisters, learn to serve in a humble way. Learn to serve in a lowly way. Learn from now. Our church life is so good to you. You know, we brothers prepare everything for you. But we want to, through this SSOT, when you go back to your locality, begin practical services. You go to our kitchen, you saw several young people are serving there. And our 14-year-old can purchase $4,000 of food, and others follow him. That's function. Never despise practical services. Start from practical services. You'll aim high, but don't go that high as a young person. Start from ground zero. Start practical services. Gospel preaching, hand out tracts, all practical services. Brothers and sisters, your human soul, if you want to preserve it, attach yourself to the church life. Attach yourself to other saints. Attach yourself to those who call the name of the Lord with a pure heart and conscience. So this is where it's so difficult these days to preserve our young ones. But without you fully dive into, fully associate yourself with the church life, there's no way, no how you can protect yourself and preserve yourself by yourself. No matter how strong you feel your spirit is, how strong your will is, there's no way you can do it alone. So, Uncle Peter will give you another homework, right? Your mind, your emotion, there are many things you need to suck the vacuum, okay? Let it suck it away. Use the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse many things in your mind, in your emotion. And because it needs to be cleaned. And if you go to any vacuum cleaner, you see dust. You even don't know you had those things in your carpet, in your floor, until you got sucked in. You say, oh, that's the coin I lost a few years ago. I spent a lot of time looking for it. And in your mind, in your emotion, you have a lot of those hidden things. You even don't know. I don't know how the brothers arrange. I hope you will have a little time, or you maybe already had. Now I give you 2 minutes. The 2 minutes, what would you do is, what's crossing your mind, your emotion? It just hurts you so much. When you think about another young brother or young sister, your heart just, I wish he were not here. What is really hindering that thing? Just when you thought about it, even cross your mind, when your eye caught a glimpse of that person, you just want to turn around. Anybody have that kind of feelings? You don't have to raise your hand. I know everybody does. I give you 2 minutes to write down that thing. Could be a person, could be a matter, could be a thing, could be something. It's blocking you. That thing, just when you thought about it, when you take a look, when just anything cross your mind, you just feel like, you feel a little painful, a pinch in your heart, a tremor in your heart. That thing, you write it down. But don't show it to anybody, okay? Particularly if the person is sitting next to you, okay? write a code. Sam Kim, just write SK, okay? Anyway, just write a code and write it down and pray before the Lord. Lord, remove this mountain. Lord, remove this. Remove this thing. Open it up. And I, this is only one exercise. I hope you will do many more. If anything comes to your mind, your emotion, really, really block you, pray for that particular thing to the Lord. And I know we do a lot of exercise before. You say, oh, you go to the Lord, repent, and you do this. No, this time I want you to do one thing at a time, one particular thing. Tremor your heart. Okay. Give it 2 minutes. Write it down and pray. Lord Jesus, we give this crop of young people to you. Amen. Preserve this crop Amen. As the cream of the crop. Amen. Lord, preserve them until you're coming back. Amen. Lord, we give this mingled spirit, intensified mingled spirit Amen. To every one of our next generation. Amen. Lord, preserve them for your church. Amen. Preserve them for your move. Preserve them for the accomplishing of your goal. Amen. Your eternal economy. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Amen. May their hearts be cleansed. Amen. Their conscience be cleansed. Amen. Their human soul Amen. Be fully for you. Amen. Fully for the dwelling of the mingled spirit. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
We have a few quick announcements.